In the fifth reading of Parshas Ekev, the Torah, in the voice of Moshe Rabbeinu, encourages us very, very much that we should behave, we should do what Hashem wants us to do. And at a certain point, Moshe Rabbeinu makes the following statement, and this is verse 20 of chapter 10. He says, "Es Hashem Elokecha Tira." You should revere Hashem, your God. Oisei Savoid, it is He alone you should serve. Uvoi Sidbok, and to Him you shall cleave. Uvishmoi Tishoveya, and by His name you should swear. So Rashi tells us, Es Hashem Alekecha Tira, Uvoi Tishoveya. The pasuk here begins by telling us about revering Hashem, talking about Yerushalayim, Es Hashem Alekecha Tira. And then afterwards, the pasuk moves on to speak about taking an oath. So what's the connection? How does one naturally lead into the other? Says Rashi, Es Hashem Alekecha Tira, V'Savayid Loi V'Sidbak Boi. You should serve God. You should cleave to God. U'la'achere she'yiu b'cho kol amidas halalu. And after you have all of these virtues, then you can take an oath using the name of God. In other words, taking an oath by the name of God is no simple thing. If you're Yerushalayim, if you have reverence for Hashem, if you cleave unto Hashem and you serve Him, then you can take an oath by His name. But otherwise, it's a better idea not to take an oath. There's an interesting dispute between Rambam and Ramban, where Rambam says it's a mitzvah to say, it's a positive mitzvah to swear by Hashem's name. And Ramban brings all kinds of proofs against this in Sefer HaMitzvah, saying, how could you say such a thing? And it's not even a good thing. And we know the greatest sages avoided taking a shavua. They didn't want to ever swear. How could the Rambam say it's actually a mitzvah? And the defenders of the Rambam explain very simply. They follow Rashi's methodology here. They say, yes, es Hashem alekecha tira, if there's reverence for Hashem, that's when it's a mitzvah. If you're in the right frame of mind, then you're the right kind of person. But obviously, if you don't have Yerushalayim, yeah, a person who doesn't live with a sense of Avodas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, let's just swear, say Hashem's name, not a good idea. Hu sihiloscha, He is your praise. Hu alekecha, He is your God. Asher osa itcho es hagdelus vesadidois. He is the God who did with you all these wonders, all these great things. Asher oa einecha, these are things that you, by your own eye, things that you yourself saw. So here the emphasis is not just on the fact that God is great, but here, the Torah says, you know He's great. You know He's great. Hu tehiloscha, He is your praise. What does this mean? Ramban says, you should give Him your praise. You should reserve your praise for Hashem and not for idols, shamans, or other forms of dominion or sovereignty in this world. And the Ramban says, hu tehiloscha also means Hashem is your praise. The nations will praise you because of your relationship to Hashem, not for something else. Hu elekecha, He is your God. He is your God. What do you mean? He's everybody's God. He's the God of the whole world. He's your God. So Ramban says, He's your God means He's miyached shmoi olecha. He puts His name on you. In other words, He calls Himself the God of Israel. He calls Himself the God of Israel. It's like a parent who's proud of a child, and then you come introduce yourself in PTA. You say, I am Yankel's child. I'm Yankel's mother. I'm Yankel's father. So look at that. So God says, I am the God of Israel. Asher osa itcha hagdolos, who did with you all these wondrous things, says the Ibn Ezra, and therefore he's worthy of your praise. And so we now begin a recounting of the various things that Hashem did for us, the various wonders and miracles that the Jewish people have seen over the last 4+ decades. Going back 250 years, B'shivim nefesh yardu aveisecha mitzayma. Some 70 souls were you when you descended down into Egypt. It's only 250 years ago. V'ata, and now, and I might add, despite all the persecution, somcha Hashem alekecha kechech v'ashmaim l'rei, Hashem has placed you as numerous as the stars. You are a mighty in a large populous nation. So here you are. You came from nothing, and look where you've come to today. And therefore, V'ahavta is Hashem alekecha. You should love Hashem your God. V'shamarta mishmarta, you should keep His watch. V'chukosav, His statutes. U'mishpatav, His ordinances. U'mitzvosav, and His commandments. Kol hayomim, all of the days. V'yahavta as Hashem alekecha. Why here are we be suddenly told to love God? So the Ibn Ezra says, as we mentioned a moment ago, that's the point. Here you were, a tiny nation, a family, 70 souls. And now you have become so great. So now that you've become so great, therefore, chayovim atem ba'ahavasei, that's why you're obligated. It's almost like you have a moral duty to show appreciation, and you should love him. What does it mean, v'shomarta mishmarte, you watch his watch or keep his watch? What does this mean? So Ramban says it means to revere Hashem, because we started off today talking about Yirah Shamayim, and that means lihishomer, to watch yourself, mechet, mechatoy lefanav, don't sin before Hashem. You got to watch yourself. And that's something that you have to watch over. And the Ramban says there's another message here. There are certain people that Hashem promises he will watch over. And those people are proselytes, righteous converts, people who are very poor and impoverished, orphans. People don't have natural system to look out for them. Hashem says, you better watch out for them. You watch out for them because I watch out for them. And that's why the emphasis is, Ramban says, v'shamarta, you should watch mishmartoi, that which he watches, namely those who are in a vulnerable position. The Yadaitem Hayyim, verse 2 of chapter 11, you should know today, ki lo yez b'neichem ashele yodu, that this is not, I'm not speaking to the children who didn't know you, v'ashele ro'u, who didn't see, es musa Hashem lekechem, the ethical rebuke of Hashem your God, as godly his greatness, as yodeh hazaka, his, euphemistically speaking, or employing what we would call anthropomorphism, yodeh hazaka, his mighty hand, uzroya hanatuya, his outstretched arm. So what does this pasuk mean? What does it mean? We say v'yadaitem, you should know. So usually when it says the word in the Torah, v'yadaitem, you should know, it's not saying you should be aware of something. It says you should ruminate, focus, contemplate, think about something. That means you should know. You should think about this. Don't just take it for granted. And what does that mean? In other words, tnu lev l'das. You should devote your heart to know in a manner of emotional quotience. When I'm rebuking you, I'm not just rebuking you. People naturally hear rebuke or they hear any kind of negativity, they shut off, they don't want to listen. Moshe Rabbeinu says, don't close your ears off. Listen carefully with what I'm saying. You should know this. Take it to heart, in other words. It's like we say in English. Take it to heart. That means v'yadaitem. Ki le'ez b'neichem. Ani medaber achshav, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I am not speaking to a people about ancient history. Sheyuchlu leimar, that you could say, anu le'yadaynu, we didn't know. Le'yadaynu, we didn't see. Becholze, we didn't see all this. But you did see all this. These are the people Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to. They were the children who left Mitzrayim. So they did see it. And therefore they should put their heart to it. And they should take this to heart. So you saw all these wonderful things. V'gam es eiseisov v'es masov, his wonders and his deeds, asher osa b'seich Mitzrayim, that he did amidst Egypt, lefare melech Mitzrayim, amongst to the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, v'l'chol arzit, this whole land. It's interesting that the v'yadaitem does not speak about the b'shivim nefesh. Right, the Yadaitim is tnu lev l'das, that you should focus on it. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, you saw this with your own eyes. This is part of your own experience. He can't speak about 250 years ago. There's precious few people who are still alive. There were some people alive, but not many. However, when it comes to the miracles of Egypt, many, many of the people who were alive at the time could remember this. And they had seen it with their own eyes. V'asher osa l'chel Mitzrayim, you remember what God did to the mighty army of Egypt, l'susa v'l'richbei, to the horses, the cavalry, asher heitzif es mei yamsof apneim, he overflowed, he drowned them in the waters of the Reed Sea, b'radfa macharechem, when they were pursuing you, v'yabdeim Hashem adayim azeh, they were totally lost, destroyed, till today. The Egyptian army had never recovered. In fact, history tells us that the Egyptian nation did not recover its former glory until centuries later, and even then, never again becomes the world's superpower. So Hashem says, everything was destroyed, and you saw all these things happen. And then after leaving Mitzrayim, and then you saw, v'asher osa lochem b'midbar, you saw what he did for you in the desert, ad bayachem, until you came, ad hamakam azeh, here we are on the threshold of entering the Holy Land. So we recount the fact that we started off as a small family of 70 nations, we became a great nation. And therefore we should love Hashem. We talk about the fact that we ourselves have seen what Moshe Rabbeinu is about to emphasize. What happened to the land of Egypt? What happened to the Pharaoh? What happened to his army? What happened at the Yamsuf? The various miracles that happened during the course of the desert. Verse 6. Vashar also ledosam va'alaviram. And what he did to Datan and Aviram, Bnei Eliyav ben Reuven, the children of Eliyav, who came from the tribe of Reuven, Asher potzasa ha'oretz es pia, that the earth opened its mouth, vativ la'em, it swallowed them, ve'ez bateim, their homes, ve'ez oleim, their tents or encampments, ve'ez kol la'yikum asher b'ragleim, all of their residuals, be'kedav kol Yisrael, were swallowed up amidst all the Jewish people. Very strange. It's very strange because when you talk about Datan and Aviram, we talk about the rebellion against Moshe, who was the chief rabble-rouser? Who was the architect? Who fomented the rebellion? Korach. Korach's not mentioned here. Who do you mention? Datan and Aviram. How did Korach die? He was swallowed. And he was scorched. He got worse than everybody else. Still doesn't say a word about it. Doesn't mention Korach. Doesn't mention the 250 people who came with Korach. Only mentions Datan and Aviram. There was like a whole bunch of people. Children got swallowed up. How come all he remember mentions is Datan va'Aviram? So Rashi says, well, Bekerev Kol Yisrael. In other words, this was in a very, very public manner amidst all the Jewish people. What does this mean? This means, says Rashi, Kol Mokim Shehoya Echad Behem Bereich, wherever somebody would run because he heard that the ground was opening up beneath him, Ha'oretz nivkas mitachtav. There was these cracks opening up, fissures all across the area. Any place a person ran, you could run, but you can't hide. The earth opened up underneath you. Elu divrei Rabbi Yehuda. These are the words of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. Omar le Rabbi Nechemia. Rabbi Nechemia responded to him, according to what you say, it shouldn't be asher patzesa ha'oretz es pia, but pia seha. It shouldn't be the earth that opened its mouth, singular. It should be mouths, many mouths, because the earth opened up in many places. And therefore, Rabbi Nechemia has a different drasha. He says, So Rabbi Yehuda said to him, how then do I explain amidst all the Jewish people? Amar loy, Rabbi Nechemia said, I'll tell you how. Shenasa ha'oretz midin, that the earth suddenly became sloped. And kemashpech, it became like a funnel. Wherever a person would go, the earth would slope up, so the person tumbled down. And they all fell into the same hole. V'chol makim shoya echad mehem, wherever a person was, hayim mizgalgel uva ad makim habliya. He would roll and end up in that place. Okay? So we have these two opinions. Seems to be two opinions. Rabbi Yehuda says the ground opened itself up in various places. And that's how he explains Bekerev Kol Yisrael. Rabbi Nechemia maintains that the ground became sloped and people fell in there. That doesn't answer the question. Why are we mentioning Korach? It's almost unfair. We mentioned the secondary henchmen, Korach's lieutenants. But we never mention the biggest chief troublemaker himself. It's not called Parshas Datan. It's not called Parshas Aviram. What's it called? Parshas Korach. And how does it open? Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Levi. Rashi says, what's Yukum? Yukum literally comes to the word Kuma, like the stand. So he says, this is residuals. Zem ha'mainish ladin. This is the money. Shema amidi ha'ragel. A person has money, and then he can do all kinds of things. You can, so to speak, stand on your feet. So that's why it's called Yukum. Money is called Yukum. Money establishes you. And therefore, once you're established, then you can do all kinds of things. So this is the question. Why Datan and Aviram? Why not everybody else? For this, we're going to go now to the Birim book. And we have a very interesting answer from the Rebbe, which helps us understand and appreciate what went on in the desert and why Moshe Rabbeinu makes his point as he does. Page Kuf Lamed Gimel. Actually, sorry. Kuf Lamed Hei. Kuf Lamed Hei Simen Chof. HaMefarshim Tomu. Ramban. Tzeid L'derech HaRashi. You all ask the same question. Madua Maskir HaKosev Rak Es B'liyasim Shal Dosim V'Aviram. Why is Dosim and Aviram mentioned here? V'loi B'liyasim Shal Korach. And not the swallowing of Korach Reish HaChelkim Umanhigam. He was at the head, at the helm of this rebellion. He was the leader of this rebellion. It seems to make no sense. Moshe Rabbeinu is pointing out miraculous things they saw. And because of the miraculous things they saw, they should be inspired to serve Hashem. He talks about coming down to 70 nations, but you didn't see that. You heard about that. Then he talks about things you saw. You saw the way Egypt was destroyed. You saw the Makot. You saw the way the Egyptians were swallowed up at the Red Sea and everybody drowned. You saw all these things. You saw all the wonderful miracles in the desert, the manna, there's a spring of water that followed. You saw all these things. And you saw the ground open up those who were rebellious. No Korach. Ach la'amita shel davar, the Rebbe suggests that in truth, Yeshuva shel kush hazu hu pashut b'yeser. The answer to this question is actually extremely simple. It's so simple, it's profound, but it's extremely simple. And this is what the Rebbe suggested. Matarasit shel hakasuv kan, the purpose of this verse, and really the whole collection of verses here is lahadgish esa uvda, to emphasize the narrative, the fact of the matter. Shenes habliya hoisa bekerev kol Yisrael, that this miracle happened amidst all the Jewish people. This is a public event. Not an event you heard about. Not like the staff of Aaron that blossomed, that the people saw the blossoms after, but nobody actually saw it blossom. This was a public event. Everybody saw this. That's the point. The point is, Moshe Rabbeinu says, it's not your grandparents. I'm not talking about history. You saw this. You yourself, everybody. You were all privy to this. You all saw it. So, and that's why it says, when the Hemshech HaKosov, the pasuk continues, Ki einechem harayos, your own eyes saw es kol ma'ase hakshem hagadol asher asa, all these wondrous things that God did. And precisely because the emphasis here is on narratives and events that unfolded in the public forum where everybody could see it, that's why Ein Mokem Lahazkir Kanas Kerech. That's exactly why Kerech is not mentioned here. Because the point is not what happened. The point is when it happened and where it happened and how it happened in a public eye. That's the point. What does this mean? Shekein b'liyasi shal Kerech kalal lehoisa bekerev kol Yisrael. The swallowing of Kerech was actually not in a public place. How does the Rebbe know that? Why would we say that the swallowing of Kerech was not in a public place? What did Kerech set out to do? The Parsha's Kerech Mesuper, in that Parsha, it is related. Shelefnei Mu'ura Hablir, before the event of the swallowing, Omar Meshele Kerech, Moses says, the leader of the rebellion, who says, I want to be a Kohen. I want to be a Kohen Gadol. I also want a part of this service to God. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ata, you, v'chol adoscha, your whole congregation, ha'oyu lefnei Hashem, will be before God. V'kru ish machtasi, let each one take his fire pan. You all want to be kohenim gedolim, huh? You all want to be great priests, no problem. So then let's do the litmus test. What will be the litmus test? The ketoret. Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, was hoping that they would say, oh, ketoret, we'll pass. Because they'll remember what happened to Nadav and Avihu. Unfortunately, they did not pass. They said, okay, we'll do this. Moshe said, take your fire pan. Unasatem aleim, you'll place upon it ketoret. You'll put on it the ketoret in the incense. V'ikravtem, you'll bring it close, lifnei Hashem, before God. Ish machtosei, each person will come with their own individual fire pan. V'ata v'aron, ish machtosei, and you and Aaron also coming. So Aaron came, and Korach came, and both came with fire pans. V'achin, sadly and unfortunately, Korach was nena l'hatzah. Korach agreed to this suggestion. He said, okay, I'll do that. He was foolishly convinced himself that he was right and things would go well for him. Kimisuper behemshcha dvarim, like the Torah itself continues the narration. Vayikru ish machtosei, each man took his fire pan. Vayitnu aleim esh, they placed upon it fire. Vayasimu aleim keteres, after they put fire. Fire means coals, by the way, red hot coals. And then you put finely ground incense on red hot coals. What happens? Right? Smoke comes out. So they placed on the fire pans, by Yisimo Aleim Kteres, by Yamdu, where did they stand?
On Mount Sinai.
No. We're far away from Mount Sinai now. Where did they stand? Look inside, what does the Torah say? By Yamdu, Pesach, Oyel, Moyed. They stood at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Where were offerings brought? In the Mishkan. Where was this going to be brought? In a public square? Where everybody could see?
The Torah says clear where it was. Vayamdu Pesach Oel Moed. They stood at the entrance to the tent of meeting. They were prepared to go into the Mishkan. The Nimsar comes out Shebishas Meudus Habliya at the time of Korach being swallowed up. Lehoya Kreda B'machnei Yisrael. He was actually not in the camp of Israel. Where was he? In the Mishkan. He was in the Mishkan at the time. B'makim Shelhoya Ish. There was nobody else there. Milvada. Who was there? Korach and the 250 people. Milvad Masayim V'chamishim Akriv Ekteris. The 250 people who were there with the Ekteris. Those are the ones who saw this. They saw it firsthand. What was the problem with that? Huh?
They also
got swallowed. So who did they tell? You know that silly joke of the rabbi who snuck away on a Shabbos afternoon? He wouldn't violate Shabbos, chas v'sholom. He walked to the golf course. He was a big golf aficionado. And he's playing golf. He's not in the golf cart. He's walking around the golf course. And he gets a hole in one. And the malachim say to God, how could you let this happen? This rabbi, this no goodnik, he's playing golf on Shabbos, and you let him get a hole in one? And the God chuckled and he said, who is he going to tell? Who are you going to tell? They got swallowed up. They're not there anymore. So it never happened to Kerev Kol Yisrael. This is so simple, it's profound. Nobody ever thought of this. Until the Rebbe came along and said, okay, here's how a child would learn the Chumash. The child would open the Chumash and he would say, let me say what it says over there. Where was Korach? You understand that these verses are Bekerev Kol Yisrael. These verses are about the public forum. Everybody's seeing it. But Korach wasn't in a public place. He wasn't even seen. Who was seen? Dasam Vavirim. Dasam Vavirim had no bones about Keteris. They did not imagine to themselves they were Keteris. They knew they were lousy Jews. They said, we don't want to bring Keteris. Oh, he can bring Keteris, that's all. We're just happy to come along for the rebellion. We just don't like Moshe. Umikivan shebli asa shol Keteris loy hoysa bekerev kol Yisrael. Because the swallowing of Keteris was not amidst all of Israel. Imachim laskerenu kan. Why would you mention it? The whole idea of what's being mentioned there, what was everybody's able to see. And that was how Moshe Rabbeinu addressed our ancestors way back then. And of course, we have an unbroken tradition. We heard from our parents, we heard from their parents, we heard from their parents. Unbroken tradition. There's never been a time when Jewish people weren't studying Torah. There's never been a time when Jewish people weren't teaching their children and passing these ideas on. So people ask for statistical proof and say, show it to me. Statistically, it's impossible to create historical facts like this. And at the first generation of Jews would say, show me. Where's the Keteris? Where's the people? Where's the people who saw this? And precisely because it was Bekerev Yisrael, that is the biggest, most compelling proof that everything here is in fact 100% as it is written. And so we should love Hashem, we should revere Hashem, we should serve Hashem, and in doing so, we should cleave to Hashem as we started today's class with.